Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. To 1 verse 4, and it's almost the last line of his message at the end of the book. Chapter 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. His message then, from first to last, is that life from one point of view is quite meaningless. From the evidence around, this life under the sun, as he calls it, is pointless, even absurd, and quite crazy at times. And that's why people do some crazy things in life today. And they do, don't they? For example, have you noticed in recent years how more and more people are opting to have their wedding ceremony in the most crazy places? Did you read in the newspaper about diving enthusiasts Wendy Didsbury and Edward Benson, both 30 years of age, who will be married later this month on the deck of a sunken German cargo vessel, SS Breda, off Oban? Now that's really what I call taking the plunge. Crazy, isn't it? It's a crazy life, says Ecclesiastes, from one point of view, under the sun. But just when we'd expect Ecclesiastes to say, well, stop the world, I want to get off, he says almost the very opposite. We find him saying instead, well, make the most of this life, because this life is full of opportunities. Yes, even in this crazy, crazy world, there are opportunities. So Salvation Army minister Xander Kerr, age 27, of Buckhaven, Fife, having read of the newly-to-be-wed diving couple's newspaper appeal for a minister, responded. And he's just completed an intensive diving course so that he can officiate at the wedding ceremony underwater, and so seize the opportunity for ministry. Is this remarkable initiative? Or is it an example of even greater craziness? I'll leave you to make the judgment. Ecclesiastes provides us with a view of life where opportunities are available for all of us. More rational ones, I'm glad to say, than the example I've just given. Do you remember the television program, Opportunity Knocks? Well, I like to think that Ecclesiastes would approve of that title for the theme of his last three chapters in his book, chapters 10, 11, and 12. And I want to suggest that we may find here that in life, opportunity knocks for us in three ways. In chapter 10, there is teaching about the opportunities to be sensible. In chapter 11, the opportunity to be enterprising. And in chapter 12, the opportunity to be godly. So will you stay with me for a few minutes and see what God has to say to us about a life with opportunities? The first one, chapter 10, the opportunity to be sensible or wise in life. And in this chapter 10, we are presented throughout with a contrast between those who are wise and those who are foolish. So verse 2, a wise man's heart inclines him towards the right, but a fool's heart towards the left. You see the contrast? And then down in chapter 12, the words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. That's quite a contrast, and Ecclesiastes sets wisdom over against folly throughout these verses. And his appeal to his readers and to us this morning is, choose wisdom. Be sensible. And the fundamental point about the sensible person is that this is a person who thinks. thinks about life and thinks about the world and thinks about responsibilities and duties and decisions and choices. Now, to be sure, life in one sense can be easier if you don't think. If you don't think deeply about it or don't think at all. There's a Polish proverb, apparently, which says, think before you think. In other words, there's a danger in thinking. It may make life more difficult for you to think, so think before you think. Yes, it's easier in some respects if you don't think much about life. You just get up in the morning, go to work, come home, have a meal, watch TV, go to bed, so that you can get up the next morning, go to work, come home, have a meal, watch TV, and go to bed, so that you can do the same again and again. And obviously millions of people are very happy taking each day as it comes, mindlessly. And perhaps you think there's something to be said for that. But Ecclesiastes would disagree. The sensible person, he would say, thinks about life. Now, among a number of things, helpful things that he says in this chapter, let me just isolate a couple of points about our thinking. The first point is this. Ecclesiastes says, think about the consequences of your actions. That's the gist of verses 8 and 9. He who digs a pit will fall into it. And so on. Last Monday evening, I watched EastEnders. Well, I had to watch it, really, because I was visiting my mother in Dundee, and she's a bit of an addict about the program. I don't know why, really. She says the tune's the best part of it, and she tut-tut-tuts throughout the whole half-hour episode. But as I watched the half-hour program on Monday evening, and I observed the number of different pits that people dug and then fell into it, it struck me that the various individuals, they just acted and reacted and didn't think about the consequences. And Ecclesiastes would say it's a sensible person who thinks about the effects and the results and the consequences of what he does. So think about the consequences of actions. The second quick point, think about the appropriateness of your words. That's in verses 12, 13, and 14. A fool multiplies words, and so on. Abraham Lincoln said once that he would rather be silent and be thought a fool than speak out and remove all doubt. And all of us know what it is to put both feet in it with our tongues, that is. And there is something to say about holding our tongues and biting our tongues and counting to 10, or some of us counting to 20 before we speak. And Ecclesiastes is right in verse 20 when he says there's a bird of the air can carry our voice to somebody of whom we've just been speaking behind their backs. And it's amazing how this can happen, isn't it? How did you know? A little bird told me. Walls have ears, says Ecclesiastes, and I'm sure we've found that's true in our own experience. So think before you speak, he would say to us, so that in some way you can stop these rash and hasty and inappropriate words from coming out. I'm sure most of you remember this motto in a Scottish castle about the use of the tongue and the three drawbridges that we've got to work through before we speak. The first one, is it true? The second one, is it necessary? The third one, is it kind? In this week that's just begun, we have the opportunities to learn wisdom and to seek to be sensible and to think. And to think about life. In addition, we have the opportunity to be enterprising. That's the second lesson that we have, and it's in chapter 11. And I think that's the point right at the beginning, the first verse, the very famous words here, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. I was never quite clear what these words meant, but I understand it's to do with ancient business practice. Ships on commercial voyage, cast your bread upon the waters, might be long delayed before profit resulted. So there was an element of risk involved in such enterprises. And I think Ecclesiastes is saying, well, if that's how the business people conduct their transactions, well, take that principle and apply it to life and seek to do good by being enterprising. In other words, invest your life in the opportunities that life presents to do good. Yes, there is a risk in investment. It's wise to invest widely, as he says in verse 2, give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what evil may happen on earth. Yes, there is a risk in being enterprising. But be enterprising, says Ecclesiastes. Be creative. Be novel. Think up new ideas. Think up new solutions. Unusual solutions. As, for example, one passenger in my car suggested to me on Tuesday evening, it was immediately after presbytery, and I came into my car to discover that I'd lost the key of my crook lock, and so the crook lock was jammed. So I went to Govan Police Station and asked for advice, and they said, well, phone the AA. So I took their advice and waited 20 minutes, and the AA man came and took another 20 minutes to saw through my crook lock and utterly destroy it and render the steering wheel free. And then one of the passengers in the car said, you know, the AA man took 20 minutes, a thief could take 20 seconds. What you should have done is gone to Govan Police Station and offered to borrow one of the inmates from the cell, just for a loan, use him, and then send him back again. A crook for a crook lock, I suppose. That was an enterprising solution. But on a more serious note, we do have to be much more enterprising, don't we, in the church? Concerning Christian witness today, we do need to think up constructive and creative ideas about advancing Christ's kingdom in these difficult days. We play it so safe in the church. We've never done it that way before. Or we have done it that way before and it didn't work. So we do nothing, just like the farmer in verse 4. Notice, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Excessive caution in the church and in Christian witness is not good. If that's our outlook and mentality this morning, then we'll never do anything for God. So be enterprising, says Ecclesiastes. Be energetic. Verse 6. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper. Be enterprising. Be enthusiastic and joyful for God. Verse 8. For if a man lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. So invest yourself joyfully, gladly, willingly, in work and service and relationships and in the kingdom. And you know, in this coming week and in the weeks to come, there's plenty of opportunities for kingdom work. So there's his word to us. Be enterprising, as well as be sensible. And the third thing, and the most important thing of all, is be godly. That's the message of chapter 12. Verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And by youth, of course, he means those who are young at heart, even those who have reached 50 and beyond. And there are great opportunities for godly service and godly living when our faculties are strong, for opportunities diminish with old age, the old age which we all resist. Everyone, said Benjamin Franklin, wants to live long, but no one wants to get old. And I think he's right, because opportunities decrease as age increases. And Ecclesiastes gives a very remarkable poetic description here of the loss of faculties as years advance. In verses 3 and following of chapter 12, there's first of all the stooping. Strong men are bent. There's failing eyesight. Well, that's a sore point with some of us. those that look through the windows are dimmed. And notice there's problems with teeth. That's the sense commentators think about these words, grinders cease because there are few. Old age, said somebody, is sinking teeth into a juicy steak, and they stay there. Then there's insomnia, verse 4. One rises at the voice of a bird, and it's really quite ironic, isn't it, that as one gets older, the hearing becomes harder, and yet you're woken up in the morning just like that by the chirp of a little bird. Hair turns gray and white, another sore point. Verse 5, like almond blossom, that's the point. Arthritic joints make movement difficult, like the grasshopper dragging itself. Appetites fail, verse 5, and death beckons, verses 6 and 7. Oh, it's all a bit depressing, this, isn't it? Talking about old age. Why is Ecclesiastes doing it? Old age, says somebody else, is too much room in the house and not enough room in the medicine cabinet. Well, Ecclesiastes is realistic. He's realistic about old age. It's sure and certain. Even Sir Cliff Richard will look old one day and feel old and get old like all of us. And the point is this: the time for godly living and godly service is now. While we have the opportunities, now is the hour. To use the Bible's language, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, says the Lord, harden not your hearts. The opportunity now for godly living. That's the important thing. Yes, life is meaningless under the sun. But Ecclesiastes closes his message by saying, look above the sun to the one who's up there and bring him down into your life now and today. And let him go with you. The end of the matter is this, verse 13. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Remember the eye of God upon you, verse 14. The secret things as well as the public things. Remember the assessment of God. Every deed comes into his judgment. And remember the goodness of God, because he brings into his assessment the good things as well as the evil things. Fear God. That's Ecclesiastes' last word to us. But Ecclesiastes was an Old Testament believer, and we now have the New Testament gospel. And we know now that the goodness of God has taken personal shape in Jesus Christ. We now know that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man, Christ Jesus, and given to us all assurance of this whereby he has raised him from the dead. It's a man now who's going to be the judge of us all and our Savior. A man who knows from hard experience the struggles that we go through and the conflicts that we're involved in, the battles that rage and the storms within. A man who's come to save us to the uttermost and help us through life. Fear God, says Ecclesiastes. And the New Testament equivalent of that is love Jesus. He who loved us and gave himself for us. And who invites us to come to him and take him into our lives and go into daily living in this life under the sun with him. That's what he invites us to do now. And so today, opportunity knocks for all of us here in this church. The opportunity to be sensible. The opportunity to be enterprising, but above everything else, the opportunity to be godly and to take Jesus afresh into this new week. May God give us grace to seize the opportunity. Let's pray together. We ask, O Lord, that your word will not just go into our ears, but find its way not just into our heads, but into our hearts, where the decisions and choices are truly made. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit this will now become a living word and bring spiritual life for us in the days to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.